You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to hour number two. Johnny B in Pittsburgh's got to be loving it.
We got it ready for you, bro.
Dog Pound on Saturday, October 17th, run Dog Wild at the Cleveland Browns 5K presented by University Hospitals and in association with Michelob Ultra. It's the all-new 5K fun run that starts and finishes at First Energy Stadium. All participants receive an awesome T-shirt, a bone-shaped Dog Pound headband, and an amazing finisher medal. Sign up by October 1st for your last chance to save on registration. Go to ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We got new microphones in the studio. They're a lot of fun. I'm having a good time with it. Weighty, heavy. If you can get a little curling, not directional microphones. See, as I curl it and it moves past my head,
I'm losing you, bro. I'm losing you.
Yeah, you can't hear it. It's not good. All right, we got John and Rocky River, and then what we're gonna do is we're gonna go, right into the matchups and talk about what's going on here with the Chargers and the Browns on the offensive side of the ball. John,
hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good man. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, my take is on this whole scenario, it always starts from the top, and it seems like every year we're in this same position. I'd summarize it like this: $160 million on speakers, $24 million under the salary cap, and a 50-cent team. I'll hang up and let you guys polish that one. Thanks.
Thank you so much for the call, John. And you two are banned from our show.
To polish.
Dynamite drop in, Monty.
That was a dynamite drop in. What did he. On speakers?
I guess. Stadium sounds amazing.
I mean, that would be some serious.
How much?
I think he said $160 million on speakers. Is that what he said, Dino? Am I misquoting him?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Do you think he got that from Speaker City?
Yes.
If that, you can't
the,
beat
the bread
it,
maker?
I'll give you the keys to the store. Figuratively, not literally. You know,
I think, you know what, on that note, I think it's a great time to start breaking down this matchup.
All right, here we go. Let's go, Dino.
I'm ready to ban people. You call, make the wrong take, you're getting banned.
Dino, you keep the tally on who's got the advantage. Let's start. All right, quarterbacks, Philip Rivers, 77 of 103, 891 yards, 5 touchdowns, but 4 interceptions on the young season, averaging nearly 9 yards an attempt on the 4th overall offense. Who's got the advantage at quarterback? Would it be the San Diego Chargers or would it be the Cleveland Browns?
Silly question. San Diego Chargers.
All right. At running back, they've got first round pick Melvin Gordon. They also have Danny Woodhead. Gordon on the season, 44 carries, 190 yards rushing, 4.3 a pop. Woodhead, he's been their red zone back. He's got 2 touchdowns on the ground, and Woodhead already has 13 catches for 120 yards in 4 games. You know, the Browns, of course, they've got Isaiah Crowell. The Browns, they've got, so far, Duke Johnson. I think the production favors the Chargers. I think that the pedigree, as it were, favors the Chargers and their first-rounder in Melvin Gordon. And I think that the advantage for me also goes to the San Diego Superchargers.
I agree. San Diego Chargers, the diversity of Woodhead and Gordon is a lot like I believe we would want to see out of Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, and the use that they are getting right now out of Woodhead and Melvin Gordon up to this point. I think right now they're a better group, but quote me if you like. I think at the end of the season, if you look back at the year, that Crowell and Duke Johnson will prove the better group.
Than Gordon and Woodhead.
As of 2015.
I will. How do we take that wager? What are we doing? If all right, we'll bet on like ban authority.
Sure.
All right.
Starting when? Next year?
Yeah, next year.
If I'm still here?
I hope you are. I hope you are. By the way, the Chargers have allowed a 120-yard rusher in each of the last 2 games. The opposing primary ball carriers average at least 6.1 yards per carry against the Chargers in all 3 games this year. But I think the advantage is with San Diego, with Gordon. I mean, Gordon's got more rushing yards. 190. They've combined for 279 rushing yards, have the two of them. Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell have combined for 196 rushing yards. They've combined for 2 touchdowns. We've combined for 1. Crow and Duke have combined for 45 yards receiving. Melvin Gordon and Danny Woodhead have combined for 146 yards receiving.
We've got some catching up to do, boys.
We've got some serious catching up to do. I feel pretty good about this one. I'm going to go ahead and put this one. Lock City, especially if Robert Turbin comes in and he's at practice today for the first time. Sean Drone mysteriously absent today. Something to keep an eye on there.
Yep.
Wide receivers, Keenan Allen, 29 catches, 315 yards, 2 scores. Steve Johnson, 14, Buck 73 and 2. Malcolm Floyd, 7 for 147, averaging 21 yards a catch and a touchdown as well versus the Browns group. And, of course, the Browns' second-leading receiver, not even a wide receiver. You got Travis Benjamin with 10 for 249 and 4. Hartline, 7 for 116. Hawk and Gabriel neither have 10 catches or 90 yards receiving on the season. I think this is, again, an easy no-brainer, San Diego Superchargers.
I agree. And to make a discussion of it instead of just flying through it, I believe a lot of the reason, as you've mentioned multiple times, the fact that the Chargers have trailed in their football games 88% of the time is a lot of the reason why they have thrown the football as much as they've and why the production is where it is. And I would say, being optimistic, that over time that our group will have similar success through the air that the Chargers would have through the air.
I am going to get rich on the San Diegos. Forget ban authority. Let's talk dinners.
Nah.
I'm going to get rich on the Chargers if you think.
I'm just being optimistic. I'm just saying. I mean,
you are being optimistic.
We've had games. Okay. Yeah. One game we've been from behind and we threw fairly well. Brian Hartline, darn near 100 yards.
Yep.
Travis Benjamin's been our guy. If you look at, you know, Keenan Allen has a long of 34. Travis Benjamin has 3 pass plays longer than that. So I think those two kind of negate each other. But Keenan Allen just, in their system, Keenan Allen gets all the touches. It's quick. I watched the game against the Lions. What did he have? 13 receptions? It was just quick screen after quick screen after quick screen. And, you know, that's where a lot of the receptions come from. But what he does with the ball in his hand is what makes him very exceptional.
Steve Johnson's 14 catches would be first amongst the Cleveland Browns wide receivers as well. I think it's, you're right, they do feed him the ball. They've been behind. They've already outrushed us, though, as well. This is just a more talented group.
It is. Don't get me wrong. And I'm just saying, but from a football standpoint, their numbers are bumped up because they've been trailing in football games.
Agreed.
Such a significant portion of the season.
Agreed. And of Philip Rivers, he's got 891 yards passing so far on the season. Of those 891, so we can just bring it in here, he has got 508 plus 263, so he's got 771 yards, and all 5 of his touchdowns have come while he's been trailing.
Right.
He has, just on the season, 120 yards passing.
And how many?
He's got 11 attempts while they've been tied or leading.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
He's got 92 attempts trailing. That's what I said. They've been behind the most in the NFL. 88.1% of their offensive snaps, the Chargers have been behind.
And that's what I'm not saying that they're not the more talented group as they sit right now, or even going into the football season. I'm just saying the numbers, the way they're perceived right now, is a lot of having to do with the fact that they throw the ball as much as they've thrown the ball.
All right, tight ends. They've got Ladarius Green right now. You've got, of course, Antonio Gates still suspended for one more game. Ladarius Green, 12 targets, 10 catches, 121 yards, and a touchdown on the young season. Big play, Gare, actually the second leading receiver on the Browns for the year. He's got 10 for 161 and a touchdown. If I had to pick one tight end to be on my team from this game, I'm probably picking Ladarius Green. But maybe overall, with our depth with Barnage and Dre, and hopefully we'll see some Bibtacular, that maybe we've got the better group there. But at worst, I think this is probably a push for San Diego and a reality.
They probably have a slight advantage.
I'm going to go slight advantage Browns in this case because of the assets.
You're feeling the love today.
I absolutely am. I am. I'm feeling optimistic. You know, Stan inspired me to talk very positively about the Cleveland Browns because he picked us to lose.
All right, and then finally we get to the offensive line. And the offensive line for the Browns has not gotten the job done, but the Chargers' offensive line has struggled as well. They have really been one of the worst units in the league. Phillip Rivers has been under duress all year long, and they could be without the entire left side of their offensive line from center
Browns
to left tackle.
Browns, we don't need an explanation. Browns playing as bad as they've been. It's still Browns. Browns playing good, it's going to be Browns.
So far in terms of offensive line pass blocking efficiency, the absolute worst in the National Football League. They've allowed 46 pressures on 120 dropbacks. The San Diego Chargers, they're the only team with a pass blocking efficiency rating or percent under 70%. This is the game the Browns need to get to the quarterback. Got to do it.
But how funny is it that when you look at the way in which the philosophy of building the Browns around having a great offensive line and our ability to run the football, that the sole possession and not even a close comparison is of our offensive line and their superiority over the San Diego Chargers, but yet in every other skilled position, they have the edge either slightly or significantly.
We're going to run into that all year long. The Browns have not invested in their skill positions.
Right.
We're going to run into that all year long. I don't think there's going to be a game. Let's see, who's left on the schedule? Arizona, we're going to give them the advantage.
Seattle.
Seattle's going to get the advantage everywhere. St. Louis, maybe Foles and McCown you could call a wash. Their wide receivers have not been great, but I'd probably rather
Kansas
Kenny
City.
Britt. Kansas City, they're going to get the advantages.
Denver?
Not even close. Denver's not even close. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati.
So then you, I mean.
We have what we, just being honest about it, our skill position groups are not the strength of this team. Everything else has got to be good to make up for the fact. Now, when you say, why do I give a tip of the cap to John DeFilippo? It's because our wide receivers actually are producing. Travis Benjamin is producing. He has done, our skill, Gary Barnage produced last week at a 100-yard game. We've had a 100-yard receiver in two of the three games.
As we discuss offense, and this is playing off of your comment about John DeFilippo, but also going back to an interview you did with Brian Hartline on the field after the loss to the Oakland Raiders, talking about the second half and saying, this is the team that we are, right? And I guess our coaches and players seeing the success that we had while trailing, but the ability to throw the football, kind of go up tempo, kind of play as if we're backed into a corner. Do you think, and I mean, I don't know if I'm throwing it out there, but I know that from time to time teams do this when they're looking for that spark. Does this offense go up tempo? Because you
we
see that you see
it. We did it last
you know,
year.
New England,
they were
New England
at
goes
it.
In and out of it very fluidly because they're led by Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, they live in that system, you know, because you have Aaron Rodgers directing traffic. Now we don't essentially have that, but could that be a part of our plan where a series of hand signals and so on and so forth in one personnel to be able to, you know, grind down this Chargers defense that is can't stop anybody through on the ground, and I feel like, and we'll get there, you know, later or here shortly, but can take advantage of some of their corners and safeties in coverage as well.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll get back the phone lines 216-578-0850, and we will also go ahead and start to look at the defensive matchups in this game before we hear from the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, John DeFilippo, right after this. CBD, ESPN 850 WKNR.